You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 11, where we left off last time. Matthew chapter 10, verse 11. Before we begin, I want to invite every Christian in America to join me every Wednesday at 6 p.m., either here where I am or wherever you are, to pray fervently for the United States of America. We are praying 2 Chronicles 7:14, and that Jesus be our Lord and the Bible our book. You're also invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast taping. I am in Sunshine, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Matthew chapter 10, verse 11. Now we learned that Matthew 9 and Matthew 10 are kindred spirits. The title God gave me for Matthew 9 was America, Arise and Live. And from God's heart to my heart to your heart, the title he gave me for Matthew 10 is You Are Being Sent to America. Now, Jesus had 12 disciples, and he called them to him. A disciple is one who is disciplined in God's word. They're a student. They're studying. They're preparing. But then he called them apostles. An apostle has graduated. They are the sent ones. So those of you who are ready to be sent, you are being sent to America. And Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Spiritually, America is sick with sin. You're to heal sin sick America. You're to raise America who's dead in trespasses and sin and cast out the demons of the lunatic spirit, the Communist Socialist Marxist Party in America. Now he's going to tell you what to do, the right attitude to have as you are being sent to America.
11. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy.
Now, the worthy means find out where God wants you to go. God's not willing that any should perish, but he's got a special place for you. Now, see, you might be sent to Valdosta, Georgia, or Titusville, Florida, or Cocoa Beach, Florida, or Austin, Texas, or Maine, or Oregon, somewhere like that. See, Port St. John. In other words, or it might be your next door neighbor or that fellow work person that works with you or someone in your own family. So see, we are called houses. So ask the Lord where you go to go. Right now, you're being sent to America.
And there abide till you go hence.
So go there and stay until God tells you to leave.
12. And when you come into an house, salute it.
Salute means shalom. Go with a peaceful attitude. You're a peaceful person.
13. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you.
Now, sometimes when you're witnessing, maybe it's your next door neighbor, your friend, your co-worker, or Atlanta, Georgia, they won't accept that. If they accept it, grace. But if they don't be offended. I have learned in witnessing that if I'm witnessing to someone sometimes who's rejecting, I actually feel like they hit me. They didn't, but there's a punched right in my solar plexus, so you will know that. Don't be offended. What it means is don't throw your pearl before swine. Go on to the next one.
14. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet.
Now, in Bible times, they did not have paved roads, so the animals were in the roads, and you know what animals do? Ooh, they have no home training. So it says, if they don't want you there, that also means your next-door neighbor or that person on the job you're witnessing to, wherever you're to go. It doesn't mean to literally do that. In Bible times, they would actually shake their sandals off and get that mess off their feet. What it means is, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, get back in the race, go into the next place.
15. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city.
Now, we studied in Genesis, when I taught that not too long ago, that because Sodom and Gomorrah was so sinful, so sexually aberrated, God burned it to just a pulp. There's nothing left. Now, what does this mean? If you are sent one, you're going to take Jesus and the Bible. It's not about you. It's the Word of God. So if they reject the message of Jesus and the Bible, then on Judgment Day, they're not going to be saved. Because if you reject Jesus and the Bible, you're not saved. So then they will have to walk into the lake of fire, which comes into existence at the end of the millennium after the great white throne judgment.
16. I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves.
Now, a sheep is the most helpless little thing. I mean, it's more helpless than a baby. It doesn't have any great big paws or great many horns. So he's sending you. He's a shepherd. You're the sheep. He's sending you among wolves. He's sending you into the swamp where the communists, the socialists, Marxists are. And they are wolves, and they want to kill you. What does this mean? Understand that you're not going into friendly territory, especially in America, anymore. And it might not be friendly territory, your next door neighbor. But know that the good shepherd takes care of the sheep. He protects his little lambs.
Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves.
Okay, one of the devil's name is serpent. Another is dragon. He's a devil. He's Satan. He's about to come calling himself Jesus, the Antichrist. And he was Lucifer in the first earth age. The serpent in the garden was not a snake. That's a figure of speech. It's one of Satan's name. So he's a low-down snake, okay? Now, what this means is, as God is sending you into America, and you're going to walk into a den of wolves there, and a bunch of vipers there, know your enemy's method of operation. In other words, don't be naive. See, I know exactly what's happening to America. I knew from the first time they announced the coronavirus, I knew that it was all a part of this plan to take over America. I've never been deceived. So that way, I'm not discouraged because I know what I'm dealing with here. You must know your enemy's method of operation. But what about the dove? The dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. When God sends you to those vipers, to those wolves, to the swamp, have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, that is actually a command because Jesus says, I have a baptism with which to baptize you. And after you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, over scorpions and serpents, over devils and demons. In other words, don't go into that trap. Don't go into the swamp, the communist, socialist, Marxist. Don't go in there without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because the baptism of the Holy Spirit shows you what to do and protects you and gives you power over the enemy.
17. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the council, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. 18. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake.
Now, what Jesus does, he's talking to his apostles, but now he is the great I am. He was, he is, he always will be. So he moves in spirit right down to our time. We might say 2021, to our time. Jesus sees that we're in Revelation 13, the first beast. The political system of the Antichrist, communist, socialist, Marxist, are on the scene. But he also sees that where we are, that soon and very soon, the second beast of Revelation, the Antichrist, that's the devil pretending to be Jesus, and he's going to come. He's going to look like Jesus, act like Jesus, talk like Jesus. He comes before the real Jesus. He comes at the sixth trump, and Jesus comes at the seventh trump. Six comes before seven. But he's going to deceive the whole wide world. All the world will think he's God. And Matthew 25, half the body of Christ on planet Earth will think it's Jesus and they will worship him. Now what's Jesus talking about? Who's going to be delivered up to him? You, the 7,000 elect here at the end, God's elect, the sent ones who are not deceived. You've heard God's word and you're not conned by him. Now, there's a reason for you to be delivered up to him. By the way, do not be afraid. Luke 21 says, not one hair of your head shall be harmed. Why is he going to send you?
For testimony against them and the Gentiles.
The Gentiles means the nation. You're going to be delivered up to the Antichrist because you know he's not Jesus. When all half the body of Christ thinks he's Jesus, to testify, to tell the truth so people will know the truth. And all the nations will know the truth. Now we're going to find out what the truth is.
19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought what or how you shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak.
The hour is called in the Bible, the hour of temptation. It doesn't mean a literal hour. It's the time of the Antichrist. Now, right now, we do, as Paul told Timothy, we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But when it comes your time to be delivered up to Antichrist, if you're an elect, boy, what a high and holy calling, what an honor. What you do, don't think what you're going to say. Don't study it. We're going to find out why.
20. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you.
At that point, you are to yield to Holy Spirit. Learn how to do that now. And he will speak through you. And all the world is going to hear the gospel. And then the end shall come. What a high and holy calling. Now, Jesus says in Luke 12, when you are delivered up to the Antichrist, be sure to let the Holy Spirit speak through you. It's the highest, holiest honor that we can have right now to do. If you refuse, you who are sent, the elect, the very few who are not going to be seen, if you refuse to let the Holy Spirit speak through you, that is the unforgivable sin. It cannot be forgiven in this lifetime, nor ever, and you have forfeited your mortal soul. I do not believe any elect's going to do it, because I think it's going to be our joy to reveal to the world who this old devil is.
21. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death.
Okay. Who is death? Hebrews 2:14. Jesus says, I came to pay your sin debt, to destroy the devil whose name is death. Now, this Antichrist will call himself the Tree of Life, Jesus, but he's really the devil, Mr. Death himself. So how are we going to get turned into the Antichrist? That's our calling. Hallelujah. I can't wait, can you?
Amen.
I know you're anxious.
Amen.
And it's wonderful. How are we going to get called up to him? Because we're the hidden ones. We're hidden with Christ and God. The brothers and sisters and family of God who will be deceived will think they're doing us a favor, and they'll go to Mr. Death thinking it's Jesus, and they'll say, Jesus, but of course he's a devil. Sherry does not believe you are Jesus. Jesus? And Mr. Death will say, whoa, bring her to me. See, They think they're helping us. This will be the members of the body of Christ. Half of them are going to be deceived. They don't know six comes before seven. They think Jesus comes first. No, no, no. And they're going to turn us in. They think they're helping us. They think that Jesus is going to, you know, help us get saved. So the father deceived would turn in the child who's not deceived. The child who's not deceived would turn in the parent who's not deceived. But it also means the family of God. Don't be afraid. They mean well, but they are deceived. They're worshiping the devil. Goodness.
22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake.
Since the whole world and half the body of Christ will worship the devil, calling himself God, Satan, they're going to hate us. You know why? Because they'll think we're the devil's children. They'll think we're not God's children. And it's okay to hate the devil. So we're going to be hated even by people in the church. I tell you the truth. You try to tell them the truth now, they'll hate you right now. Been there, done that.
But he that endureth to the end shall be saved.
Those of you called, elected, and chosen, set ones, if you wait it out and don't bow the knee, you have eternal life. See, they have worshipped the devil. And when you worship the devil, this was your second chance. You've lost it. I mean, even though you went to church all your life and you thought you were doing good, if you worship the devil instead of Jesus, that's the end of your soul.
23. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. Verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come.
Now we know we love Israel. Our brother Judah is there in part. We know that the larger bulk of the 10 tribes settled America. So he says, okay, he's going to send you from this place to that place. If this one rejects you, go somewhere else. In other words, when you walk out this door, the next person you meet, that's your place to go. But it says that we're not going to have time to go over all America, the 10 tribes of Israel. Now, why is that? Because in Mark 13, thank you, Lord Jesus, Jesus shortened the time of the Antichrist for the elect's sake. Read it for yourself in Mark 13. Lest nobody be saved. Well, what was it originally? The book of Daniel said it was 7 years, and it was divided into times, times, and a half time. 3.5 years, 3.5 years. The first half would be the political system of the Antichrist, and the last 3.5 years, the Antichrist himself. So Jesus says in Mark 13, I see what it's like to be in the flesh. I'm going to shorten this. Now, to what did he shorten it? Revelation 9. The king of the bottomless pit there is the Antichrist, the devil with his Jesus costume on. His time as the Antichrist is the time of the locust. In the natural, this little insect locust is 5 months, May through September. Now, that doesn't mean that the Antichrist is coming May through September, but it might. I know it's close, but it does mean 5 months. And so five is a number of grace. But again, shortened in times, times, and a half time, 2.5 months. Now, right now, we're getting a dress rehearsal of the political system, and soon his own fallen angels will come and preach that this Antichrist is Jesus. And then that last 2.5 months, he will actually be here in person. It's 5 months. Five is a number of grace. So see, the time is short.
24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his lord. 25. It is enough for the disciple that he become as his master, and the servant as his lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more should they call them of his household?
Okay, they call Jesus Beelzebub. Beelzebub is the Lord of flies. Remove the F and you got lies, the liar himself. What they're going to do is think you're Satan's children, because of course Satan has children, because he seduced Eve in the garden and bore Cain, and his descendants are going to be right around this fake Christ. So they're going to call you the devil's children. Right now, they'll call you a false prophet. Don't worry about it. Endure to the end. Not one hair of your head shall be harmed. Luke 21.
26. Fear them not, therefore.
Don't be afraid.
For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known.
Now this is why God's elect are going to be delivered up to the Antichrist. By the way, those trials are no more than 10 days per person, so it's going to be okay. Here is why. When you let the Holy Spirit speak through you, we don't tell what he's going to say. But obviously, it says the gospel shall be heard, the gospel truth. Then the devil, with his Jesus costume on, his identity will be uncovered. The Jesus costume on will be taken, and we'll see that he's really the devil. What a destiny. You're going to let the whole world know that the fake one is the devil. What a destiny. Aren't you glad?
Amen. Amen.
27. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light.
Now, right now, the earth is covered with darkness. You can hardly hear the truth. Many of you have never heard this, but now you know the truth. Go and tell.
And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye among the housetops.
Go and tell the truth.
28. And fear not them which kill the body.
Now, when the Antichrist comes, remember, he's pretending to be Jesus. He's going to look like Jesus, two horns of a lamb, but he's the voice of a dragon. He's a devil. And he's going to say peace and safety, cause craft to prosper, miracles. Now, if he were going about killing everybody, he'd blow his cover, wouldn't he? You wouldn't think he's Jesus. So he's not killing you, but we're going to be delivered up to him. But he's going to finally lose his cool, and the two witnesses, of whom you will soon be aware, are going to be pumping the truth into God's elect, Revelation 11 and Zechariah. He's going to finally blow his cool and kill them. Only the two witnesses he's going to kill. But the people will think he's done a good thing because they think they're the devil. But guess what? The two witnesses are going to rise from the dead in 3.5 days, and then the seventh trump shall sound, and then Jesus comes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't lose with the God we use.
That's right.
They are not able to kill the soul.
The devil can't kill your soul. Even if he cuts your head off, he can't kill you unless you worship him.
But rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
That's you have to fear God. He owns the souls. And of course, anyone who's not saved will walk into the lake of fire after the great white throne judgment at the end of the millennium.
29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing?
A farthing is less than a penny, about half of a penny. God says two little sparrows are so cheap that you'd have to have a half a penny to buy them. I mean, we don't count them very worthy.
And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father.
Without your father knowing. He loves a little sparrow. I mean, one tiny little sparrow, Father just loves it and cares about it. He knows all of his creatures. He knows how many feathers on each one a little sparrow.
30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered.
But you see, how much more does he love you? He counts the hairs on your head. I've got a bunch of hair. I tried it one time. I gave up. What this means is, it's not talking about hair. It means that he knows all about you. You are his personal child. He knows you're coming in and you're going out. He knows your idiosyncrasies. He knows your strength. He knows your weaknesses. And he loves you.
Amen. 31. Say ye not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows.
If he loves that little sparrow and picks it up when it falls on the ground, God will protect you. God protects his elect. His eye is on the sparrow, and his eye is on you.
32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. 33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven.
Be very careful as you live your Christian life, as you are being sent, that you're very proud of Jesus. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. This is the greatest thing that ever happened. We ought to be shouting and hanging from the rafters all the time, no matter what the crazy world does, because God loves us. And you want to tell people to Jesus and tell them about him and that he's your Savior. Sometimes you go on a date and you don't want to tell the girl that you're a Christian. You think she won't like you. Well, for heaven's sakes, what is her problem? What is your problem? If you don't tell people that you love Jesus and you're saved, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, Jesus will deny you. Confess him and he'll confess you. Confession is made to salvation.
34. Think now that I am come to send peace on earth. I've come not to send peace, but a sword.
The sword is defined in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. It's the tongue of Jesus. It's the word of God. It cuts both ways. It's more powerful than a two-edged sword. And it cuts the lies away from the truth. It separates.
35. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law.
Okay. Now this is where the rubber meets the road. People in your own family are definitely in the family of God, who are going to turn you in thinking they are helping you, thinking they're going to get the Jesus, Mr. Death, to save you. They're not going to like you so much anymore. It's going to be divided. And that's all right. Endure to the end. Stay with God. Stay with Jesus.
36. And the man's foes shall be they of his own household.
At that point, they become your enemy.
37. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me.
Now, let's talk about that. In Luke chapter 14, verse 24, Jesus says, if you're going to follow Jesus, now Jesus said this, you must hate father, mother, brother, sister, son, or daughter more than me. Now, the hate is a strong term, but it means to love less. Wednesday, I'm teaching the book of Psalms. Wednesday night, I taught Psalm 24. The Holy Spirit, through David, called it the Good Shepherd in His Glory, or Jesus is coming again. Did you know that Jesus is only coming for those who are looking for Him? And I was amazed that people said, but I want to wait and get married before He comes. I want to have my occupation before He comes. I want to get a new house before He comes. I want to see my children marry before they come. Whew! Wait just a minute. You love your child, your mate, your life here more than that? Are you saved? This is a marriage. Some said, I want to have fun first. Do you think that the fun you having here, by the way, when you go out and have fun, aren't you tired when you get home? The fun you having here, the love you have with your mate or your child, do you think that's more fun than Jesus? He's the most fun there ever is. He loved you first of all. This is a love affair. He's the bridegroom. You're the bride. Any person, place, or thing, or condition that is more important to you than Jesus, are you saved? You better do a check. I mean, I can't wait for him to come. He's Amen. Coming again. Amen. And we're going to be ever with him back home where we belong. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And if your loved ones are saved, they're going to be there too. But they are supposed to love him also more than you. A father said to his little child, I love you, darling. She said, I love you too, Daddy, but I love Jesus better.
And he that loveth son and daughter more than me, he is not worthy of me.
The second witness. Are you excited about Jesus coming?
Yes.
If you don't want that, are you saved?
38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me.
We just sang that song. When Jesus took up his cross, he took it so he could die for our sin debts. What this means is that if you're a sent one, that not one human being or one situation or one condition is to be more important than what God has called you to do. Paul says, I die daily. I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me. Die to yourself. Die to what you want and live for Jesus. Actually, amen, it's amen. The freest you'll ever be.
39. He that findeth his life shall lose it.
So you see, but wait a minute, Sherry. I'm trying to get some money so I can get my family some education and get a new house. And I'm finding my life. I'm putting some money away. But I do love Jesus. No, no, no. You're finding your life. You weren't hit here for your, sent here for your life. You're a sent one. You're sent here for his life. So if you're all about you, even though you go to church all the time, though you read your Bible, though you're a nice person, if you're finding your life, if your life is more important than his life, then you will lose your life. Are you saved?
And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it.
Give it all up, all to Jesus. I surrender everything I am, Lord Jesus. Here am I, send me. And he says that if you leave father, mother, brother, sister, son, a daughter, a house, and land for my sake, he'll restore you this lifetime and in the life to come, eternal life. Mm-hmm. Give it all up, and eternal life is yours. You'll never regret it.
30. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me.
You're being sent with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the name of Jesus, and the Word of God. So if they receive what you are saying, they will be saved, they'll receive Jesus. And when anyone receives Jesus, they receive the Heavenly Father. Because Jesus said, the Father and I are one.
31. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward.
A prophet is an anointed speaker. You're to be anointed with the Holy Spirit, and you're to speak the Word of God. And when you do that, you get a reward. But those who receive that anointed word will also get a reward. Judgment Day is reward day.
And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward.
You're doing the right thing to be anointed and to be anointed with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and take the word of God. And you get a reward for doing the right thing. But then those who receive that, they also get a reward for doing the right thing.
32. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward.
It doesn't mean literal water. It means the living water. The Word of God. We're washed with water by the Word of God. Now, in other words, anyone receives that word you're taking, they get a reward. But you know what? You're not only supposed to go to the lost. You are supposed to wash the little ones. You know who the little ones are? God's elect, chosen from before the foundation of the world. God's elect on the front line in battle. So wash them with water by the Word of God. Pray the Word of God over them. Now, about the anointing, you want to learn how to yield to the Holy Spirit. Learn how to pray. You know not how to pray as you ought. Romans 8:26. Ask the Holy Spirit to pray through you with groanings which cannot be uttered, that you pray according to Father's will. And then learn to speak. When you speak, let the Holy Spirit speak through you. See, all of you think this is Sherry Medlock talking. No, I got out and he's in. So that's what you need. And then you'll be all right. You are being sent to America. Amen. I pray you are blessed.
Amen. Amen.
This time, I normally introduce to you the owner of the produce place, the man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. Well, Scott and the marvelous Mersons are away for a few days. They'll be right back here Wednesday. However, we've got in for Scott, we've got Richard. Now, let me tell you about Richard. When I had my school in Cocoa, Richard came up there. Scott brought him. And Richard got saved. He came up the whole bench. He got saved. And I baptized him. And boy, he's a man of God, too. God has moved in his life. I mean, he's living a life for God. You would not believe the miracles after miracles of a miracle. So, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Richard's stuff?
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5.
Fantastic. Great Richard. We got Richard the Great. Hey, Richard the Great, that's it. If you study English literature. Thank you. That is perfect. Thank you so much, Richard. We appreciate it. And we pray for Scott and Angela, Max, Olivia's safe return. They took a few days off and they deserve that. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. But if any one of you is not saved, you better get saved right now. The time is short. Pray this prayer with me. Mean it. And God will save you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I repent for my sins.
I repent for my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To tell the truth.
To tell the truth.
To America.
To America.
And to win many souls to Jesus.
And to win many souls to Jesus.
I confess.
I confess.
That Jesus is Lord.
That Jesus is Lord.
Amen. 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 Now, for those of you who meant that and prayed that, confession is made to salvation. I invite you to tell me. In a little while, my announcer will give you my telephone number, so call and leave that message on my voicemail. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. I feel led today to pray for those who do have COVID-19, the coronavirus, because with Jesus' stripes, you're healed. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, according to Malachi 4, I ask, O Son of Righteous, rise with healing in your wings. In the name of Jesus, let the inflammation be gone. In the name of Jesus, infection be gone. In the name of Jesus, fever be gone. In the name of Jesus, cells be restored. In the name of Jesus, left lung be healed. In the name of Jesus, right lung be healed. Breath come out. Breath. Breathe in Jesus' mighty name. Pick up your bed and walk. He sent his word and healed you. No weapon of the devil shall formed against you shall prosper. He sent his word and healed you. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We all say, I agree in Jesus' name. Now, nothing is given you to keep. You heard it tonight. Go and tell. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your host and your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. Your best friend is Jesus. I love you with all my heart. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound on WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big, we'll be right back.
Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station, your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
So much. wish that I were there. And there is a reason for everything. And there is hope, so don't let go. There's something more. Remember always, I'll remain. But don't let your heart forget. You'll see me again. But that day is not here yet, no. There is a reason for everything. And there is hope, so don't let go to something more. Remember all. For I have made a promise and I hope you won't forget. I will always remain forever yours. Somewhere far beyond this place and in another time, I know we'll be together once again. For I have made a promise and I hope you won't forget. I will always remain forever yours. Forever yours. And there is a reason for everything. And there is hope, so don't let go of something more. Remember always, I'll remain forever yours.
You're listening to WMIE Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA Coco Beach and Vieira.
You got church services on Sunday, you got church services on Wednesday, you got special events, and we still dried up. We still seem so hopeless.
Dr. Tony Evans says as a nation and as individuals, we need the new life only the Lord can give us.
God does let you get low so that you can discover only He can raise dead people.
Celebrating 40 years of faithfulness, this is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. If your last mountaintop experience with the Lord is just a distant memory, there's a way out of that valley you're in. And here's Dr. Evans with a look at how God can bring you back to life.
God told Ezekiel in chapter 37, I want you to go down that valley and I want you to look at those dry bones. The hand of the Lord was upon me, verse 1 says, and brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley of bones. He caused me to pass around them to check it out. And behold, there were many on the surface of the valley. And lo, they weren't just dry. He says they were very dry. Now, the question is, what are dry bones? Verse 11 tells you, he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. And we are completely cut off. He says, dry bones was the whole nation of Israel in a hopeless situation. That's dry bones. They were very dry, he tells us, because they had been there in that place a long time. Dry bones is being in a situation where you don't see a way out. It is being in a scenario of major collapse, and you want to know, how in the world is this going to get fixed? Dry bones is where your situation, and in the case of Israel, their national situation was in major collapse and calamity. It was where stagnation had occurred, dashed dreams and hopes, barrenness, desolation, and there was no hope. You know, you and we are in this low place called a valley. A valley is a low place. We're in this low place called a dry place, a place of dry bones, when you have to look up to see bottom. When there are no ready apparent answers to your dilemma, and where you live life in crisis mode. That was the valley of dry bones. And these people weren't physically dead. They weren't, Israel was still a physical nation. But he calls them a valley of dry bones because they were in a helpless, hopeless situation. Historically, they were now living in Babylon. They had been taken captive by the Babylonians. And he makes the statement at the end of verse 11, and we are completely cut off. In other words,